What do I do? I demanded. What do I do?
They're strong enough to hold the ship down even when the thrusters are firing at full power, Fuchs said, also stating the obvious, or perhaps he was thinking out loud.
They must all be connected underground, Marguerite said. It must all be one gigantic organism.
Wonderful. I'm about to be killed, and she's spinning biological theories. I heard that slithering noise again. It was the feeding tubes, the arms that were holding me down. They were eating the ship's hull. They were going to break into the cockpit and eat me. I wanted to scream. I should have screamed, but my throat was frozen with terror. Nothing came out of my mouth but a thin squeak. We can't get down to him, Fuchs was saying. We don't have the time to attach a tow line and pull him loose.
We don't know if we could pull him loose, even if we could attach a line, Marguerite said.
They were talking about me in the third person, as if I weren't able to hear them, as if I were already dead. They thought they were running through possible ways of saving me, but to me it sounded as if they were making excuses for letting me die alone down on the rocks. My mind was churning, working harder than it had ever worked before. Awash with sweat, prone in Hecate's cramped cockpit, trapped and alone on the surface of hell, I realized that only one person in the universe could help me, and that was me, myself. How did those feeder arms find me so fast? They were draped over the old wreckage, including the escape pod, but they wrapped themselves around me within minutes.
Marguerite!
I yelled into my helmet microphone.
The arms that were on Phosphorus's wreckage, are they still there? Are they still waving in the air?
A moment's hesitation. Then she answered,
No. They've extended from the wreckage to your ship.
How many of them are on me?
Four. No, there's five of them now.
Great. I'm attracting them like flies going for garbage. They left the old wreckage for the new meat. But why? Why leave the food they've been grazing on for more than 3 years?
Think! I screamed silently at myself.
The only advantage you might possibly have over this Venusian monster is your brain. Use it! Why leave the wreckage for me? What sensory organs did they have that told them fresh meat had arrived? They sensed the metal ions that surged through the air on the volcano's tidal wave, I remembered. They can sense metal ions even at very low concentrations, the way a human being can sense the nutrients he needs in food. It tastes good.
Marguerite, I called again, are the arms laid out straight across the ground, straight from the old wreckage to Hecate?
No, she said. They curl and twist. It looks as if they followed the trail of the alloy you pumped out.
Yes, they run along the splashes of alloy on the ground and follow it to your ship.
That's what interested them, the alloy I'd been excreting.
I've got to eject the ballast, I shouted with the realization of it. All of it, now!
You can't eject all the ballast, Fuchs said testily. It's your heat sink.
I yelled, it's their picnic food! It's what's attracting them to me!
But your cooling system will overload, Marguerite cried.
I've only got a couple of minutes before they break the hull apart. I've got nothing to lose.
Fuchs's voice, tight with tension, said,
Lower left screen on your main panel. Touch the ballast icon.
I know, I know.
I jabbed at the panel, suppressing a yelp of pain. Even the panel was so hot it burned to touch it. A short menu appeared. Thank God the electronics still worked, despite the heat. But how long would they work once I had tossed the heatsink alloy overboard? No matter. I was going to fry down here anyway, unless I could move those feeder arms off the ship. My fingertips were scorched, so I used a knuckle to touch the ballast eject command. I heard the ejector springs bang, rattling the ship.
Tell me what they're doing, I said, fighting to keep my voice level.
Fuchs said heavily,
The ingots fell just a meter or so from the tail of your ship.
Are the arms moving?
No. A new fear cut through me. How much damage had the arms already done to the ship's hull? They'd been eating the metal for only a few minutes, I knew, but was that long enough to weaken the hull's integrity? If I actually could shake loose of them, would Hecate fall apart when I applied the thrusters again?
Any motion? I asked.
The temperature in the cockpit was soaring.
My suit gave me some measure of protection, but still I felt as if I were being roasted alive. The control panel seemed to waver before my eyes. The plastic was starting to melt.
Anything?
Marguerite said.
One of them is moving. I think.
I could hear the pumps in my suit gurgling madly, trying to carry away the heat that was swiftly building up. But there was no place to carry the heat. It was everywhere, all-encompassing, smothering me, boiling me in my own juices.
Definitely moving,
Marguerite said breathlessly. How many?
Two of them. Now a third. My God, they move so fast.
Fire the thrusters,
Fuchs commanded. Everything was swimming, melting. I felt dizzy.
Fire the thrusters, he roared. Now!
I wedged my burned hands against the melting plastic of the control panel and pressed both boots against the thruster bar as hard as I could. The thrusters growled, rumbled. The ship shook. I realized it wouldn't be enough. I was still pinned down, helpless, unable to move. Then she broke loose. Hecate lurched forward, shuddered, then shot up from the ground so hard I was pushed back painfully inside my suit. Fuchs was yelling commands in my earphones. I saw the ground whipping past and then receding. It should feel cooler, I thought stupidly. It ought to feel cooler. But it didn't. It was still so hot I was suffocating, boiling inside the protective suit. I wanted to rip it off and be free of it. I think I might actually have started to unfasten the helmet. Then the ground beneath me opened up. A gigantic crack pulled the solid rock apart with a grinding, terrifying roar that sounded like the howling of all the demons of hell baying at me. Frozen into immobility, stupefied, I stared down into the blinding glare of white-hot magma that blasted a wave of heat up through the thick, turgid atmosphere. Hecate shot up like a dandelion puff caught in the searing blast of a rocket's fiery exhaust. Bouncing and shuddering in the blazing breath from the planet's deep interior, I stared down petrified into the mouth of hell. What was left of poor old Phosphorus tumbled into the widening pit. I saw it melting as it fell deeper into the infernal heat. But the thought that welled up in my mind was that the tentacled monster must be tumbling down into hell, too. Good. Die, you bastard. Go to hell where you belong. Retrieved. The thruster's throttle bar jammed in the wide-open position while Hecate soared up and away from the white-hot fissure yawning below me. Fortunately, they ran out of fuel within a few seconds, otherwise the ship would have risen up like a rocket-driven artillery shell and arced halfway around Venus before falling back to splatter on the surface. As it was, little Hecate shot up from the surface like a scalded cat, her nose pointed toward the clouds some 30 kilometers above. The temperature cooled off to a mere 400 degrees as Hecate soared upward. I was groggy, exhausted. All I wanted to do was close my eyes and sleep, but Fuchs wouldn't allow that. He bellowed in my earphones, screaming and roaring at me. His bawling, blaring voice became more insistent, penetrating into my mind, shaking me out of my heat-induced daze.
"Answer me," he snarled. "Don't you die on me. Don't you take the easy way out. Wake up! Snap out of it!"
It took me several moments to realize that he wasn't raging at me. He was pleading. He was begging me to stay awake and alert, to save myself, not to die. My eyes were still staring with fascinated horror at the mammoth fissure burning below me. The pit of hell, I thought. I'm looking into the pit of hell. And I understood what Fuchs's mind was like inside, the burning rage, the fury that he had pent up within him. It was enough to kill any ordinary man. It was a wonder it hadn't killed him already.
"Answer me, damn you," Fuchs was demanding, urging, cajoling. "I can save you, but you've got to give me some help, damn it."
It was still burning hot inside Hecate, and I felt as weak and limp as a strand of overcooked spaghetti. "I'm here," I said. My voice was little more than a rasping, exhausted whisper.
"Good," he snapped. "Now listen to me. You're coasting about 15 clicks above the ground. You're out of fuel and gliding like a saw plane. I'm coming up after you, but Lucifer can't reach you fast enough unless you help."
Fast enough for what? Then I realized, fast enough to get me.